This morning we have three panelists, Terry B., Nancy K., and Jamie S. They will each speak up to 20 minutes, and they have notified our timer, who is co-host two, of the timing that they wish. Thank you. Now I will turn the session over to our panelists.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jamie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm really excited to be with you this morning and to share my experience, strength, and hope on step 10. Each of us is going to take a step and talk for a bit on it. I, just so you know, I'm based in Northern Virginia, and I was really honored to be asked to speak this morning. I've actually never been to a Region 7 convention, so this is really a treat. And Zoom is definitely, there have been some silver linings, and this is definitely one of them. So I'll just qualify for a minute. I've been in the room since 1998. I've been abstinent since 2000. I have worked the steps up and down. I sponsor and I have a sponsees. I have to say that I've worked the steps a handful of times. I just recently completed another go around in the 12 and 12 workbook. My sponsor and I spent, almost a year and a half running through the workbook. And it was a really powerful experience. And I have to say that for me, steps 9 and 10 were the most powerful for me. Everything was really powerful, but I was so excited to dive into step 10 this morning, because step 10 has really been a game changer for me in my latest iteration of my recovery. I've been around the tables for a few 24 hours, and my life has looked really different throughout my time. So I was single, I was dating, I got married, I had one kid, I have two kids, I have a big job, right? And so my program has really looked really different throughout all of that time. And I will say that in this go around of step work, step 10 has, I will say, like, in pretty powerful ways, like, blown my mind and blown my recovery in ways that I never quite got. You know, I had the opportunity to reread the 12 and 12 in preparation for today. And, you know, I remember first originally reading it, and there, you know, they talk about spot check inventories and mental inventories, and, like, you know, there's like a, you know, that's the beauty and curse of program. There's like a million ways to do it, right? There's a million ways to be abstinent. And then you have to figure out how to do it for yourself. And was like, oh yeah, I do spot check inventories, but, like, you know, part of my French, like, that was total BS. Like, I didn't really, until this go around with my step work. And I will say that, you know, after doing very extensive steps 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, step 10 for me became this daily opportunity to look at myself. And so I want to just spend a couple minutes sharing some of the takeaways I had when I reread step 10 in the 12 and 12. There were a handful of words that kept coming up over and over and over again. Persistence, perseverance, repetition, right? They talk about, it comes from For Today, but they say the only form of permanence that we find in nature is repetition. And I love that, right? Like, there is, like, we don't graduate. There's no guarantees. The only guarantee we have is about repetition. I loved in there, I read, stubbornness turned to good use becomes perseverance, right? Stubbornness for me in my program, in my disease, is an ugly, nasty thing. But stubbornness in my recovery is powerful, right? It's about repetition. They talk about practicing it daily, right? They talk about identifying and removing our path from their path, today's stumbling blocks, manifestations of pride, fear, anger, self-pity, doubt, and greed, and other emotions that keep us from growing. You know, I will say that, you know, when you think about, like, before you've done a step 4 and 5, or after you've done a step 4 and 5, it can be daunting. It's big. It can be massive, no matter how you do it, right? That deep dive into yourself and then sharing with another person. And so, you know, I would say that what step 10 has been for me is a daily opportunity to continue to look at myself and to unpack myself on a daily basis. And what I will say is the days I don't want to do it, and this is true of most of my recovery, the days I don't want to do it are the days I need to do it the most, right? Like the day I'm like, I'm tired. That's the day I need to be like, put away the phone, turn off whatever, 5 minutes, right? Get focused, right? And so to me, step 10 is about, you know, the value or the, you know, what they talk about step 10 is about perseverance. And I need that daily action. I need that daily kick in the tush to keep myself honest, get honest with myself, get honest with my higher power. I find that the morning I keep my meditations in my drawer in my bathroom because that's the only time that I have time to read them. So I read them after I brush my teeth. And I find, and then I write on the meditation, I write to my sponsor about that, literally like after I've brushed my teeth. And I find that when I have done my 10th step and written that night, it's just a different kind of wake up. It's a different kind of wake up. It's not only about how I've cleared my wreckage the night before. It's about a morning where I'm like, oh, I know what I need to do. I might need to make amends from what I wrote last night, or I've cleared the wreckage and I can actually start the day. And that's kind of like monumental because I didn't live like that before. I just didn't live like that before. So I want to talk a little bit about how I do a step 10, because for me, when I remember like in my early days, this idea of like a step 10 was really like, I was like, I don't know how to do it. Like, what does that mean? So I wanted to spend a little time talking about like what have been some of the more powerful pieces for me about step 10. So the one thing I'll say is that this is like a Region 7 product. I think they like sell them at conventions. My sponsor actually gave it to me. This sat in my, this is full disclosure. This sat in my bedside table for like 2 years, completely untouched, I was like, oh gosh, I'm so glad. Like it was so lovely. She gave it to me. And then I was like, I just like moved along. I was like, that was so sweet. Move right along. Right. When we made this, when we worked the step, when I worked step 10, she said to me, so what are you doing? How are you doing it? And I was like, let me think on that and I'll get back to you next week. Right. So first, again, I was like, totally like, I don't know, you know? So I said to her, okay, you gave me the thing. I'm going to do this thing. And so, that's what I've done. And I will say, this is what I'll say about this thing. I don't know if people have this, but like, it's really short, right? So here's my disease mind. I'm going to do a step 10. It's going to take me 45 minutes every night. I don't have 45 minutes. I can't do it. Blah, 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 blah. This does not take 45 minutes, right? It takes 10 or 15, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, right? It asks me today, where was I resentful? Where was I jealous? Where was I dishonest? Where was I fearful? Where was I feeling discontent? There are some days where I literally write, like, I was okay on this today. And like, what a gift, right? That is a gift from my higher power that I was not resentful, right? I will say there are probably, out of a 7-day week, there are probably 2 or 3 days that I'm not resentful. That's a freaking miracle, right? So that's number one. Number two, it then asks me these powerful questions, right? Was I kind and loving? Do I owe an apology? What did I do for others? What could have I done better? And what did I do well? I have to say, you know, in my mind early on in program, I thought the 10th step was like they put you up against a wall and it would be like a confession, like, tell us all the awful things you did today. And what's powerful about the way the Region 7 journal is, it says, okay, like, do you owe an apology? But also, what did you do good? Where did you show up today? How were you loving and kind to all, right? Like, I did all this, right? I talked about where I was resentful or jealous or whatever, but it also says, where did you show up today? Who did you show up for? And for me, at the end of the day, to remind myself that I'm not just a jackass all the time is a gift of the program. It is a gift of the program to remind myself that, like, I'm not the, like, worst person in the world, because my disease wants to tell me that if I had a food thought or whatever, my disease wants to tell me and tells me that I am not worthy. And this program reminds me that I'm worthy and I'm worth it. And that is why this powerful 10 or 15 minutes that I spend on step 10 reminds me of the work I have to do, but it also reminds me that I'm worth it and that I count and that I showed up for other people and I showed up for myself. And that's a gift. I mean, I feel sad for people who aren't in program or don't have a solution, because I get the opportunity every day to be reminded that I'm a good person. And I probably was a good person before I came to program. I mean, I was, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. And I didn't have an opportunity to believe that. And more importantly, I didn't have a venue by which to clear the wreckage of my past or to clear the wreckage of my day, right? Maybe not such, that's the beauty of the step 10. It keeps you pretty clean every 24 hours, right? That power of that 24 hours. The last part of the step 10 in this journal that I love, and I've seen it, and I've done step 10s, like there's a million ways to do it, but I'm a black and white thinker. I don't think I'm so unique in that, but when I went through step 6 and 7 and focused on character defects, one of the parts of the character defect work that I loved was thinking about the opposites, right? Right? What is the opposite of fear? What is the opposite of worry? What is the opposite of self-centeredness? What is the, right? Like, because, you know, it helps you remember that, like, it's yin and yang, right? Everything in moderation, and it's not all perfect. There's shades of gray. But it also reminds me that if I'm living in fear, that my opposite is faith and trust, right? And so at the bottom of the journal piece, it says, grant me freedom from blank and replace it with blank. And it has this awesome list at the back where it says self will, God's will, right? God, please remove from me fear and replace it with faith and trust. God, please remove self-centeredness from me and replace it with God and love-centered thoughts. Right? Like, here's this, like, simple, not always easy, but simple power of these words to say, like, I'm feeling fearful today, and I'm turning it over to my higher power to have it filled with faith and trust. And that is, like, it's like those simple words, those simple possibilities from program that then can, like, blossom into, like, oh, I don't have to be filled with fear. I can actually be filled with faith and trust. I don't have to live a fear-based life, right? I can live a life that my higher power provides me to feel trust it's mind blowing, right? Just literally filling in the blanks, right? I love filling in the blanks. That was like my favorite part of fourth grade, right? I love to fill in the blanks. And then the last part is also incredibly powerful, and I'm gonna close out in a minute, but it gives me the opportunity, which I learned a long time ago in the Big Book, about praying for others what I want for myself. And this opportunity to write down people's names, people that I love and I need to pray for, right? Because I might be feeling resentful at them or fearful for them or worried about them. And I get this opportunity on a daily basis to put their names down in writing every day. And let me tell you, there's some people I write down every day. I write my husband's name every single day. I write my girls' names every single day. I write my sponsee, my sponsor, my sister, my mother, my brother, whatever. And I get the opportunity, and it says, God, I pray for the health, prosperity, happiness, and well-being of fill in the blank. I'm getting out of myself. I'm getting out of myself. I'm praying for others what I want for myself.
Jamie, 2 minutes.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm ready. So you can tell I'm a lover and a supporter and a fan of Step 10. It for me on a daily basis in this current iteration of my recovery is giving me life. It is giving me strength. It is giving me recovery on a daily basis. And I'm not afraid of it anymore. I was afraid of it, and I'm not afraid of it anymore. And I hope that for me, you know, by the grace of God, one day at a time, that that I'm showing up, and a daily step 10 is my way of showing up. So with that, I will pass. I'm so excited to hear from my co-panelists on step 11 and 12. And thanks so much for the opportunity.
Okay, Terry will now speak on step 11.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, Jamie, thank you. I love clear away the wreckage of the day. How about the minute? How about the second? Okay, I'm not talking about step 10. I'm talking about 11, control myself. So my name's Terry, and I'm a compulsive eater. And just, I'm timing myself. Hold on, because I don't want to spend the whole day talking about what I used to be like. Too horrifying. But I will say I've been in the program 43 years. I joined when I was 25. You can do the math. And I would be 69 whether I joined the program or not. So yay that I joined the program. And I've been in program more than I've not been in program. And it has totally changed my life. I like statistics. Although they're sort of irrelevant, they're not. I've maintaining a 50-pound weight loss, which you'll say, well, that's not a lot. Well, I have a very tiny frame. And 50 pounds on me is like 150 on someone else. And it didn't go in the right places. If I had 50-pound boobs, I'd be like jumping for joy. Oh, I better be careful, I'm getting recorded. Forget that one. Anyway, delete that, please. But it was not good. I've seen bigger women who are gorgeous. I was not one of them. And of course, I didn't like myself. So why would I take care to even look gorgeous? And I don't know how long I've been abstinent. I wish I could tell you it's been 43 years. I don't know. It took me 13 months to get an abstinence gray sheet, which I lost the weight, but I also lost my hair, my bones, and my periods, all sorts of things. And then I had to do something a little healthier. But so I've been sugar-free for 42 years, I guess. However, I will say this. I've had some food plans that were very wacky. And I look back now and I say, if you call that abstinent, then you're crazy. But then when I heard the speaker yesterday and how he defined his beginning abstinence, okay, I was learning what worked for me and what didn't. I already knew sugar didn't work. But in these 42 years, I have never once woken up and hated myself because of how I ate. I knew I had to clean up my act. I knew that program wasn't working for me, but I kept coming back to meetings and someone said something extremely powerful. Whatever your abstinence is, hold on to it. It will get better. And it did. And I found a dietitian that got me and got what we needed. And that changed my life. And so I'm going to talk about step 11, but that's it. So I will say about the steps, and I was just feeling an enormous amount of gratitude. I am not the person physically, emotionally, or spiritually that I was when I walked in this room. Everything good that has happened to me in the past 43 years is related to having worked this program and working this program. Everything. I shudder to think what I'd be like. Do you know how many people run into me and go, you know, I used to not like you, but now I like you. I'm like, great. I still don't like you, but no, I love everybody. I love everybody. I don't like everybody because they remind me of me, but I love everyone. Anyway, now they say if you like everyone you meet at meetings, you need more meetings. So anyway, let me get on to step 11. I will tell you, it's hilarious and ironic that I'm speaking on step 11 because I bleeped the word God out of the program. Literally, I took a marker and scratched it out. And the first time I was 12-stepped, I was working as a waitress because our school was on a strike and some people 12-stepped me. And they left a copy of the steps, a little pamphlet. Well, I had the laugh of my life. When I read step two, I said, whoa, these are a bunch of nuts. I'm not doing this. You know, I saw the word God. And then I said, well, this is not for me. A therapist told me about it. I said, oh no, they're a bunch of freaks, religious freaks. That was not for me. Finally, a very cynical friend of mine said, I went to OA and they were nice. And I said, well, if she likes them, I guess I'll try it. P.S. She's not a duck. She doesn't quack. So she never went back. But I am a duck. I am a compulsive eater and I quack very loudly. So April 19th, 1977, I walked into my first meeting after a zillion binges. And they said the word God, but it was a very weak meeting. And they said, don't worry about that God stuff. So I didn't worry about the God stuff. Great. I got the gray sheet. Well, they actually didn't give it to me. I read it real quick and I actually read it wrong. And I followed it. And then I found out there was a meeting around the corner for me. I lived in Baltimore City. And so I went there and it was a packed room, not the three people in the other meeting. And there was the cutest lady sharing. I mean, she was adorable. And she, oh my God, she was so cool because she said, and when I measure my spinach and I take it out of the cup, it looks like a cup. I knew she needed to be my sponsor because that's a heck of a lot of spinach. And I thought, oh, I want my broccoli to look like a cup when I take it out. So anyway, I was all set to run over and say, please, please be my sponsor. And then she did it. She said it. She said the word God. And I owe it all to God. And I went, oh, shoot. But I looked at her beautiful, adorable body. I looked at my whatever body. And I said, all right, I'll believe in God if that's what it takes. So if I have to believe in God to be skinny, okay, I'll do it. So I kept an open mind. And she was great. She said some really wise stuff. When I said I'm eating, she'd say, stop. Wow, I put that down real quick. And she said, if you're in it for the food, it's not going to work. She said, you can't afford to be bored with the program. We went through the steps. We did the Just for Today card. I mean, it was fabulous until she went back into the food. I don't know what I do to sponsors, but you know, my sponsors leave. And you can't have a sponsor that's eating because we know how to eat. I need a sponsor that knows how to recover. So so fast forward, let me tell you about my journey of prayer and meditation. First of all, I will tell you how I work step 11 today. I do a lot of things. I have a food plan. I have an exercise plan. I have a spiritual plan. They all change and adapt with my needs. I get up in the morning. I get up really early. Well, I have a natural alarm clock, but I'm still up at 4:30. I need that hour, hour and a half to get my head on straight. I don't get excited. I'm okay, but I wake up in darkness. Well, it is dark, but I mean, I wake up in spiritual darkness. And the first thing I do before I get out of bed is I say, thank you, God, for a new day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you is like my biggest prayer. Thank you. And thank you for another abstinent day. That's the key, guys. I don't say, oh, thank you, God. Will I be abstinent today? Hell yeah, I'll be abstinent with you and me working together in this great program. I assume that good things are going to happen. I assume I will see miracles in every day. And you know what? I do. So anyway, I wake up and I say, thank you for another abstinent day. And thank you for restoring my soul and blah, blah, blah. Get up, and I'm still feeling this darkness, make my coffee. I'm down to this much caffeine because of I have some issues and my doctor told me to be almost caffeine free. So, okay. That was harder to hear than I can't eat sugar anymore. And I only drink a cup or two a day. It's not like I was like making my life unmanageable, but I enjoy it. I admit it. And this is not Caffeine Anonymous, so I'm all good. And anyway, higher power and I have a little coffee together. And I pray and I say my prayers out loud. It's really cool to say your prayers out loud for me. And I just talk to God like he's my buddy. Hey, God, listen, I'm really upset about blah, blah, and thank you for this, and how's it going? And I read some prayers out loud. I just like it. And I write them too. It's like, if you don't write your prayers, they don't count. I write every morning, it's, Dear God, thank you for your new day to be absent and do your will. That gets kind of rote, so I got to make sure it comes from the heart, and not every day it does. Sometimes I write a letter that says, oh my God, sometimes God writes a letter back to me. Usually he says, would you please stop whining? Stop it already. That's enough of you with the misery. You know, stop focusing on the negative. You don't know how much you have in this world. So I sometimes have God write a letter back to me, extremely powerful. And you know what? A higher power, and you can call him God. I don't define my higher power. It's my higher power as I don't understand. I refuse to put limits on the infinite. I know my higher power is good. I know I trust. I will trust in the, I want to, there's two worlds. There's a negative world with sickness and illness. There's a positive world with health and trust. I'm part of that world, unless I'm not. And it feels so darn bad, I get back in that other world. And I just want to be part of that good. And so I write my prayers, and it's a relationship. Relationships are my sore spot. If I have any regrets, it's the great relationships I have wrecked from not being there for people. And I could weep for that. I am not that person today. And so I will say that I love prayer because it's my connection to my higher power. And I just think it's really important that, and there's no wrong way to pray. And so sometimes am I praying or am I thinking? Well, my higher power knows my thoughts, so that's good too. And I don't worry about it. In my beliefs, I do and then I understand. I don't need to understand my higher power. I need to understand what actions are right in this world. And people say, well, what is God's will for you? Honey, he does not care if I change careers and went from a teacher to a nurse. What God wants from me is to be honest, loving, and kind. Boom. It doesn't matter how I wrap that around. Honest, loving, kind. Boom. That's it. I don't have to worry about the details. Will God find me a parking space? I have legs. I can walk. You know, will God help me find my wallet? Stop losing your wallet. Stop losing your phone. But God is not my, you know, finders, keepers, loser, weepers. He's my direction. He's my, what am I doing right in this world? God speaks to me in silence, and that's why I must meditate. So I started meditating in 1973 with TM. If you don't know what it is, you don't need to know what it is. It's a form of meditation, which I did for about a week. And I meditate, I would meditate inconsistently, and I didn't realize it, but I've been meditating all along, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But not that I'm sitting down and I'm meditating, but at a meeting, February 10th, 2019, to be exact, a friend and I in program decided to be meditation buddies. So we would text each other when we meditated that day. I have not missed a day since then. Have I gone to Nirvana and back? No. Are some days I sit down and meditate and I make a shopping list? Yes. But the only wrong way to meditate, as they say, is to not do it. And I just bring it back to my loving kindness. I like guided meditations because they tell me what to think. But I also try to do silent ones occasionally. And I got to tell you, God speaks to me in my silence. God speaks to me through others. God speaks to me through my reading, through my writing, through my experiences, my victories, my mistakes. Higher powers, wherever you look. And so I do want to say that prayer changes me. I have never prayed to be dishonest. I've never prayed to be angry. I've never said, God, please make me angry today because, you know, I really want to have this character defect. I've never prayed to have my defects enhanced. I've always prayed, bless them, change me. Bless them, change me. And I don't get, if I'm afraid my husband might be hearing me, I want to say I don't get angry a lot, and he may come in and say, I beg to differ. But, you know, your family is always the last one affected by this, you know. It should be the first one, but they're the last. I'm a spiritual giant here. I'll be a Minnie Mouse in about 15 minutes, okay? Just saying. But I want to tell you what I do because it's so much fun. I do spiritual games. And what I do is I make everything a spiritual event. And now you're going to think I really am a spiritual giant. Trust me, I'm a Minnie Mouse. But I like to exercise. Some people may say I do too much. I really don't. I'm too lazy to be an exercise bulimic. But I've done my share of events. And what I do is I've elevated them to a spiritual experience. When I set the timer, I do it for, there's some numbers in my religion that are very powerful. And because it's an outside issue, I want to tell you those numbers. You can text me, I'll let you know. But I do my exercise for those spiritual minutes. And my meditations choose me, I don't choose them. I am strong. Thank you for this strong body. So I have to tell you a funny little story. I'm doing a triathlon. Yeah, I had to fit that in so you can see how cool I was. But I'm doing this triathlon. P.S. are only sprints, don't get excited. But I'm doing one and I'm running up the hill. It's a gigantic hill at the end of the triathlon. And here's a meditation that came to me. Thy hill be done. So I'm sitting there laughing my head off while I'm running up this hill and people are shooting me daggers because it's like, you know, you're crying. And also when my age of 60 some is on the back of my leg and they're all saying, I want to be you when I grow up. And which is hilarious. I think it's a compliment. I'm not sure, but I'll take it. Let's see. So I would just say, just do it. Let me see if there's anything I need to tell you. I told you about the spiritual games and I told you about pray as if it already happened. Pray as if it already happened. Oh, another spiritual game I play is the ABC game. So I'll be walking or running and I'll from each mailbox I'll do, I'm grateful for A, abstinence, B, my husband Bill, C, commitment. And why am I grateful for those? Not just I'm grateful. When I do my gratitude list and I send it to my sponsor every night, I don't just write that I'm grateful for recovery. Why am I grateful for recovery today? What did recovery do for me today? What did I do for recovery today? I didn't never do that, but okay, if my sponsor's listening, I think I'll throw that in there. But anyway, I just think we really need to have fun. And with our things, I play these games. I take this third step prayer and I parse it out. While I'm like, if I'm riding my bike every mile, I change the word. And I think about that. So I have to be more careful because I really need to be watching the road. So I parse out, I just play spiritual games when I get up every hour to move around because it's horrifying how much I can sit on my butt. And I do the serenity prayer as I walk. And someone who taught me this, that when I wash my hands, do the serenity prayer. We should all be really spiritual this time if we're doing that because everybody should be washing those hands. I'm sorry, I'm a nurse. I had to throw that in. But anyway, so I love the big book. I grew up with the big book, but I also love our literature. And I love what they said in step 11. So let me just throw out a couple things. We have to take action. This is an action step. And, you know, praying is action. And I love the ending. Oh, this is when I know I'm doing okay. It may come as a change. Do I have a relationship with God? I don't know. But listen to this. It may come in the form of a new idea or concept. It may come as a change in our motives or attitudes. Or it may simply be a feeling we have that our energy has been renewed or our bad mood has been lifted. And this is so weird because I wake up in darkness, and I'm not just talking physical darkness. By the time I've had my quiet time, it's all of a sudden like, hey, I'm feeling better. Hey, I'm feeling a bit of happy. And when I say happy, I don't mean life is grand happy. I mean that contented feeling like it's okay. It's really okay. Really? Am I done?
1 minute.
1 minute? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, let me just check my notes and make sure I've told you everything I must tell you. Growth steps. I love step 10, 11, and 12 because they are our growth steps. And you know what I ask? And not sometimes I ask, why am I in recovery? I'm not the nicest person, trust me on this one. I am not the most perfect person, really trust me on that one. And I just make me deserving, but also why not me? Why not? So when you see somebody who has what you want in the program, say, that's for me. And that's what I've been doing all weekend when I've been hearing all this strong recovery. That's for me. So I thank you for listening. I hope you got one tiny spiritual nugget out of this, because that's all I want in a meeting. Give me one nugget and my meeting is a good one. And I can't wait to hear about step 12. So with that, I pass and I look forward to hearing from my good buddy, Nancy.
Thank you so much, Jamie and Terry, for your shares. Terry and I go back quite a few years, and Jamie, I had the privilege of meeting through this panel, and it was just a joy to hear a little bit of your story, and I absolutely want to hear more. And I thank you so much for the opportunity to share my experience, strength and hope, and with a focus on step 12. And I'm going to go ahead and make sort of I'm going to open with sharing some of my weakness, and that is that I have found the longer that I've been in program, I sometimes let my ego get in the way, and that's a sense of responsibility, like I am somehow personally responsible for embodying the message, and I need to somehow convince people, and that is not letting my higher power speak through me. And so I hope by admitting that, and you're going to hear a lot about how my experience in OA did not get me to perfection, that I allow my higher power to speak through me, to be of service. So to qualify for a few minutes, what it used to be like, what happened, and what I'm like now, I am in the Baltimore area of OA, that meeting that Terry talked about. The big meeting in Baltimore City, that was my very first meeting. I went there in 1989. You can do the math. It will be 32 years in January of 2021 that I've been in program. Before I got into OA, when I was 29 years old, my life was a series of being on a diet or binging. And if I was on a diet, I was one of those diet martyrs. I needed to tell you how horrible it was. I needed to tell you how I was suffering. I needed you to tell me how fabulous I was looking now that I was losing weight. But on the inside, I lived with fear and shame, because I knew that while I was a very, very good dieter, I had dieted from the time I was 7 until I was 29. And I put myself on that first diet at 7, not my parents, not a doctor, me. Because I compared myself to other kids. And so what happened was that in that process, I was good at dieting, but I was terrible at maintaining, because the diets got the part of, like, I ate too much and I needed to lose weight. What they didn't get was my spiritual and emotional sickness in compulsive eating. And so that was the story of my life. And so every time I got a compliment when I was losing weight, I felt the shame, because I knew I would have to give it back, because it was inevitable that I was going to gain weight. Because I get down to a weight, life didn't get perfect. And then it was easier to gain weight and say, that's the problem. It's my weight. And that's why my life isn't perfect. So that was the story of my life until I got into OA. And I've been maintaining about a 35-pound weight loss now. I have been more than that at various points in time in my life. Like Terry was saying, I am a very a small person. I'm like, well, I used to be 5'2", but, you know, I'm older now. I'm 5'1 and a half, right? And I have a very petite frame. So to me, that's significant. I also can say that I was probably about 15 pounds, no, maybe not 15, maybe like 10 pounds less than I am now. At one point, and I thought I was too fat. So I was only there for a hot minute, but I understand, you know, that's that side of the disease as well. So what happened is that when I went to my very first meeting, I had the privilege of doing what I was doing a lot. You didn't hear me because I was muted. I was laughing as Terry was sharing, because there's such a humanness in this. And so I came into this huge room full of people talking about doing some of the most shameful things with food, and they were laughing. And I always thought, if you knew the shameful things I do with food, you would laugh at me. And it was a sense of I had found my tribe and I was home. And the other thing that was amazing about it was because it was such a large meeting, it was a really big tent. The way people got to their recovery, what they were going through, whether they were bulimic or anorectic or, you know, 200 pounds overweight, it didn't matter. We had that shared sense of purpose and I felt like I had come home. And so from that very first meeting, I suspended disbelief and I found a sponsor. And it's interesting. I've heard a lot of people talk about their big fear is step four. Well, for me, it was step two, that idea of, you know, finding a higher power, because I come from a non-religious background. But I suspended disbelief. And there were a number of as we talk in step 12 about having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, and I did work the steps. Some of my spiritual awakenings are how much I weigh is none of my business. And if I am abstinent, my higher power will lead me to the right weight. Another one of my spiritual awakenings, and these are kind of food or fit more physical related spiritual awakenings, but a person can in fact eat real food and maintain a healthy body weight. I didn't think that was possible because I thought you had to eat some sort of a diet shake or a this or a that, or, you know, don't even ask me all the crazy diets that I've been on. So all of that was great. And, you know, I think when I look at what my life is like now, I had a period of 7 years of back-to-back abstinence from my very first meeting. And I took my will back. I took my will back after I had my son. I decided that because I had been abstinent throughout my pregnancy, that it seemed like 2 weeks after I had my son was reasonable. I was giving God enough time to let me get back into my tightest pair of jeans. And that didn't kind of work for me. And so then I started doing what I had done before, which was playing games and binging and restricting. And I went in and out of a period of relapse for almost 5 years. I was abstinent most of the time, but I was chasing the past. And so today after a period, I turned my will and my life over again. I worked the steps again. I worked the steps with my current sponsor. And, you know, life is not perfect, but it's really, really good. It is such a blessing to me. When I first came into program, I thought, you know, I want to do this. I'd like to get fixed and then I'd like to leave. And who'd have thunk it, you know, getting up early on a Sunday morning to be here. My home group is on a Saturday morning and I love going to that. And it's just amazing to me. And so I have spent way too much time talking about myself, unfortunately, as usual. But I'm going to pivot to more with step 12. It really is the culmination of all of the steps. It's the culmination, but it is not the end, because these steps have to be a part of our life every day. At least for me, that's been my experience. And so my spiritual awakenings have not come in any burning bush moments. They've come in small ways. My spiritual experience actually first came to me when I worked the second step back in 1989. I read an AA book. Back in those days, we had very little OA literature, and the book Came to Believe was very, very powerful and very profound. And my experience has been not religious, but spiritual. And that's okay, because there isn't a rule on what we have to do. We just have to find something greater than ourselves. And so I have had that spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. Now, do I feel it all the time as much? No. Some days I'm a little more spiritually centered than others. Some moments I'm more spiritually centered than others. But I have a path forward with my higher power. The step also talks about we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters. And so for me, that means both inside and outside of the room. So that means sharing my experience, strength, and hope at meetings with other compulsive eaters. It means it means sharing my experience, strength, and hope outside of the rooms, but the way I share my experience, strength, and hope outside of the rooms is very different than the way I share my experience, strength, and hope in meetings. I don't walk around like at work or other places and sort of share, hi, my name is Nancy. Well, I'm at a meeting, right? Not an OA meeting, but like a work meeting. I'm Nancy, I'm a compulsive overeater. Let me share a little bit, let me qualify here. They don't want to know that. But if people ask, if people want to know about my recovery, then I share about my recovery and I'm happy to do that. Sometimes I get caught up in worrying, like I've planted seeds and it doesn't seem like they've borne any fruit, but you know what? That's none of my damn business. That's me and my ego getting in the way. I can only carry that message through attraction rather than promotion. That means in terms of my physical, my emotional, and my spiritual recovery. The other thing that the step talks about is practicing these principles in all our affairs. And boy, is that a big one. I don't know about you guys, but I find it fairly easy most of the time inside of meetings to feel very spiritually centered and okay. I think it's a lot harder outside in the rest of the world where people are not necessarily practicing a 12-step program and applying those principles in all my affairs. And it's so, so important as a parent, as a wife, as a daughter, in my work. For much of my time in program, I have been a manager. I always thought that was kind of this interesting paradox, right? So I need to turn everything over to my higher power and I'm, you know, responsible for my own behavior, but somebody's paying me, you know, for being responsible for the work of other people. My sponsor, who has been amazing, and I've been so lucky. I've had two sponsors in my time in program. My first sponsor for about a year and a half, and my sponsor that I have now, who is one of my closest and dearest friends I've had for over 30 years, and she has helped me immensely. I kind of, you know, we talk about looking for a sponsor who has what you want and asking them how they're achieving it. She was a young manager kind of rising through, you know, sort of through that process. And I wanted to find out how you applied the principles of the program at work. And that was a big deal for me. And so practicing those principles and showing up in all of our affairs is just so important because, you know, I don't get gold stars for how many meetings I go to. I go to meetings to nurture my recovery. And sometimes I need more meetings. Sometimes I need less meetings. That has changed over time. Some meetings feed my soul in ways that other meetings don't. Some meetings I need to go because I may be the person in the meeting that has recovery. In other meetings I need to go and I need to shut up and just listen. And it's all different. But when I'm in that outside world, which is the majority of my time and my days, my higher power, the words that I hear from all of you, I feel like my higher power speaks to me so loudly in meetings. I hear so much recovery and spirituality. It's amazing. I need to take that with me. My higher power goes with me all the time. I need to take that with me when I'm in this outside world. The other thing that I think about that's so important, we talk at the end of our meeting, we talk about it's our weakness, not our strength, that binds us to each other. And that is so important to me. I think before I was in program, one of the most profound things is I kept thinking I had to hide things that I wasn't perfect. Like you really thought I was perfect, whatever. But that I had to hide that from people. And what I find now is it's through being honest about the fact that I'm not perfect. The goal is not getting perfect. It's my progress. It's not about perfection. I will never get there. I'm never going to be the 6 foot tall, thin, blonde bikini model, right? That's my physical thing. But in terms of all those other things, I'm never going to be the perfect wife, the perfect mother, the perfect daughter, all of those things. But it's so important. And the other thing, because I know I'm fast approaching time, that's so important. So I acknowledge that I am not fixed. And by acknowledging that I'm not fixed and I'm not perfect, it means I have to keep coming back. And the other thing that's so amazing about OA to me is I can look a certain way. I can't say that I'm thin yet. I still haven't been able to do that. I have lots of body image issues too, but I can say that I'm small, all right, because I'm short. But you don't look at me and think that I'm fixed, right? Because I get to keep coming here and it doesn't matter. And that's wonderful. So I need to continue working my program like my life depends on it, because it does. I need to have a sponsor. I stay in touch with my sponsor. I need to go to meetings. I need to sponsor other people. I need to give service. I give service at the level of my home group meeting, and I give service at the level of inner group. I share my story when people are willing to do it. I have action plans. I have an action plan. I have had several work action plans, because applying the principles of the program and work have been a challenge, that's for sure. I have an exercise action plan because I don't like to exercise and I needed to make commitments around that. I update my food plan regularly. I do kind of inventories around my food plan. I tend to call it a food framework because I have a pretty flexible food plan. There's certain things that just don't work for me, but I look at updating it because I've learned over the years what works and what doesn't. And I have a daily practice of doing a little bit. Thank you. I have a daily practice of doing a little bit of reading. I do a gratitude list every day. And then I have a short time where I do prayer and meditation. And that has been about the structure that I need to, maintain that conscious contact with my higher power and keep that spiritual awakening going, to carry that message to compulsive overeaters, which is living life as my higher power would want me to do, and to try to the best of my ability to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'm so grateful to be here. I still think back, and it shocks me to think about what my life would be like if it wasn't for program, or if I would even be alive, or even if I was physically alive, what kind of emotional and spiritual death or disease that I would be in. So I am so grateful to be here. And thank you so much for letting me share my experience, strength, and hope with you today.